The gospel is the good news. I'm going to say that again. The gospel is the good news. And here's what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Here's what Paul said. He said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation." Now, under salvation is being saved from a place of ruin. I was headed down a wrong road. I don't know about y'all, but I was on the highway to hell, AC/DC, and I was leaning on the skinny pedal when I met Jesus. Living life out of control. Many Christians walk on the edge of living, trying to live right and being out of control. I'm going to say that again. Many Christians walk on the edge of being right and out of control. We struggle. Romans chapter 7 will give you some insight about that in our life. The only way we can fully understand is to totally surrender and be saved from a place of ruin. You can't save yourself. You can't save yourself. That's some good news for you today. That's the gospel. Jesus paid the price. I love the white balloon because Jesus paid the price for you. You're purchased with a price. You've been bought with a price. Jesus purchased your soul with his life's blood. You don't have to do that. All you have to do is get your hands off. It's like Jesus take the wheel. Come on. Jesus take the wheel. My little wife wanted to go to Fanolio's. Y'all know what Fanolio's? That's kind of like Olive Garden in a microwave. It's not Fanolio's. What's it called? Fazoli's. Yeah, that's Olive Garden in a microwave. I'm trying to put a pair of boots in my mouth. I like my Fanolio's, Roy. So my little wife wanted, and we're coming home. We'd been out west and been up in the Four Corners. We'd been out there from middle of March, and it was late in November, and we were coming home, and we was in a hurry to get home. And been rodeoing hard all summer. And my little wife said, "Oh, Fazoli's looks good. Let's go there. Let's pull in there." And I'm going to pull a trick on her. And I drove a Peterbilt truck pulling a 51-foot trailer. And when I got there, I had this little saying I always did driving a rig like that. I'd go, "Yeah, it looks like malfunction junction. I don't think I'm going in there." So I done kind of looked at the exit when I'm coming to it. And I got this in my mind that I'm going to just pass it and go down there to another exit a few miles and turn around and come back. And when I see that exit, I'm going, "Yeah, Laurie, that looks like malfunction junction. I don't think I'm going in there." And I pass that exit, and she just about inhaled the windshield. "You just passed Fazoli's." And I'm going, "Yeah, it just looked too bad. That was a big, they got a big parking lot right by, there's a mall right beside it, and you just passed it." And she said, "I'm going to open that door and kick you out." I said, "Then what you going to do? Sing Jesus Take the Wheel?" And I don't know how you're going to do that because you can't drive this rig. So we go on down there, and I was going to turn around and come back. There wasn't another exit for 15 miles. I mean, bad day for me on that one. But we want Jesus to take the wheel, but are we really willing to get our hands off of it? And Paul said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel." There's too many of us walk around in our life and we don't really proclaim him and profess him to our own families because they see our failures. Let me tell you something. You are a flawed piece of human flesh. But Jesus is wanting your heart. You'll never, when the Lord moves in and changes our life, we get to thinking, "Man, I've done so much wrong, I can't show my family." That is a lie from the pits of hell. That puts you in a place of being ashamed of the gospel. He said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jews first and also for the Greek." For in it the righteousness of God is revealed. Here's what we want to get at, the righteousness of God. You can't live righteous without holiness. You can't live righteous without being holy. The scripture said, and we read it last week, Jesus, the Lord said, be holy for I am holy. It wasn't an option, that was a command to be holy. This mediocre living on the life on the edge of right and life on the edge of wrong and trying to stay balanced in the middle ain't getting to church nowhere. And you're a representation of the church if you're a born-again believer. I see people wear t-shirts that says, I'm a Christian, but I cuss a little. You just justifying your flesh. And the Bible tells you that you're drawn away by your own fleshly lust and enticed. When you fully surrender to God, you won't have to cuss a little. Hello? When we fully surrender to God, we won't have to have traffic issues. No. No, some people out there just drive crazy. I'm sorry. Watch out. You may go to church for one of them. He said in verse 17, he said, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. What do you believe in? That's your faith. When Paul, before Paul became Paul, he was Saul, and he was going on a road to Damascus. He was on a road of destruction because he wanted to destroy anybody's life that was found worshiping. He got letters from religious leaders and from political leaders to go bring anyone bound back to Jerusalem from Damascus. I'll bring them back. We'll stop this Jesus stuff. And on the way to Damascus, he met the Savior. And God dramatically changed his life. And it's that man that was even holding the coats while they stoned Stephen. It's that man that became a fire for the kingdom of God. He became a fire for the kingdom of God. Let me tell you something. God is not weakened. The people have weakened. And we need to surrender to God in order for the gospel to be real to us. The gospel is the teaching or revelation of Jesus. This is what the church is void of in our culture today, is a revelation from God. Your revelation is... it's kind of like it's automatic when you put the car key in the car and it just starts at that little bitty thing that we call a key. We stick it in an ignition, we turn it, and it cranks right up. That's revelation, that all it takes is that. Take the battery out and you've really tore somebody's nerve up. Right? See, what we have, we got keys, we know what to do, but we don't have the power source, and the power source is the Holy Spirit. We don't need to walk around with that key thinking I got it all together. We need the power source. We need the Holy Spirit. But it's a revelation. That's what we're void of when we, the battery's gone. Oh, who done that? So revelation is what it takes of God. And I can't give that to you. I can preach that to you. I can share with you, but the only way revelation begins to happen in your life is that you begin to seek out the gospel, the good news. You begin to seek out the King of Glory, Jesus. You begin to pray every song. It's like, man, Wayne, I just appreciate what God is doing in our hearts to line it up. We didn't talk about this. It's Jesus that makes the difference. When we seek after Him, if you seek Him, you will find Him. If you become a follower of His, He'll do great things in your life. When He told the fishermen to leave your nets through the four Gospels, and He went to them and He said two words. He said, follow Me. They left everything and they began to follow Him. They didn't turn around and go back. They didn't go, hey, wait a minute, ma'am, it's good to see you today. I got to go back to fishing. We get our ticket punched and get our religious traditions on, and I've done been saved, and I've done this, and I've done that, and we turn around and go back. And if you're praying prayers and keep walking in a wayward lifestyle, your prayers are wasted. I'm going to say that again. If you if you go back to what you've been to, Paul said, if I build again the things which I've destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. What is transgression and what is sin? Doing wrong and knowing you're doing it. That's what sin is. I know it's sin. I'm doing it anyway. I'm going to hate them anyway. I'm going to unforgive them anyway. I'm going to be bitter anyway. But I'm a Christian. No, you're miserable. You're miserable and the gospel has not set you free. The righteousness of God has not been on you. I shared with you last week the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate covers us. It covers the vital organs. A Roman soldier had to wear the breastplate. And if I wanted anything, if I was the enemy, I would want you without your breastplate because it puts your heart in a vulnerable place. And all I got to do is get one arrow to the right spot. But put on the breastplate of righteousness. Try saying that real fast 5 times. Put on the breastplate of righteousness and the enemy can't get to you. What is it to be righteous? It is to be holy. You can't be righteous without being holy. Be holy, for I am holy. And when we begin to walk with that, and that begins to be our heart, it's the church's mission to preach the gospel. And that's something that's in our heart, and our heart is protected by the word that we have received, the revelation we have received from God, which is in us because of the revelation we received by the Holy Spirit. We can't have it without that. Wow, that's what God really meant about that. That's what it means to have the joy of the Lord. Wow, revelation, it comes to you. Let's take a look at some gospel that set people free. You remember in Mark chapter 5, verse 25 through 34, the woman with the issue of blood, she'd had this issue for 12 years. She'd spent everything she had trying to get rid of this issue of blood that was flowing from her, and she couldn't get it stopped. She spent everything she had. She's miserable. She's unclean. She couldn't have friends. Nobody wanted to be around her. Nobody wanted to take part with her. But Jesus was coming to town. And when Jesus was coming to town, there was people just gathered around him. And I mean, hey, who wouldn't want to hang out with Jesus? He'd fed the multitudes. He cleansed the lepers. He caused the blind to see. And who wouldn't want to hang out with this man? I mean, he's got it together, but he's got it together because he's being obedient to the Father. When he was challenged by the religious people, he'd tell them all, I didn't come to do my will. I came to do the will of the one who sent me. Let me tell you something, friends. When we begin to do the will of the one who has saved us, we'll begin to see the power of God be real in our individual lives. When we're obedient to him as individuals, we'll see his power. But this lady is pressing through the crowd, and she's kind of slipping around, and she's got it in her mind, she's got it in her heart, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be made well. And she presses in, and she touches the hem of his garment, and then Jesus turns around and says, who touched me? And the disciples is going, hey, there's a lot of people around you. How would we know who done that? And the lady finally reveals herself, it was me. And he said, I felt the virtue go out of me. What is it? When we're hungry enough, when we're hungry for what God has for us, when we're hungry for the revelation of Jesus, when we're hungry to see a change manifest itself in our individual lives, we will press into God no matter who's around us. And the woman said, it was me. And the Lord said, your faith has made you well. What do you believe in? She had already believed in it. It had nothing to do with touching the garment. It was her faith. And Jesus knew this in the heart. So look here, a revelation happened to that lady that day. Revelation had entered her heart. Nobody could give it to her. It was a revelation from the throne room of God because of what Jesus was able to do in her life. And she believed it. Out of all the people around him, she believed it. Then there's another story. In Mark chapter 10, of blind Bartimaeus, I want you to flip there with me. I'm going to read part of this one to you. I may read all of it to you. Verse 47 of Mark chapter 10. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Verse 48 says, then many warned him to be quiet. Must have been the Methodist. Be quiet. But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. How long has it been since you really cried out to Jesus? How long has it been that the same old thing is going on in your life and you need some deliverance from it? You've got somebody that's hung up in addiction. You've got something going wrong in your family and you want the enemy to get his hands off of you. How long has it been since you cried out loud to the Father for Him to do something great in your life? If you keep on doing what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always got. It is time that the believers of Jesus begin to cry out to Him and expect Him to do great things. It's time that we cry out. Now watch as he goes on here. Give Him praise. Come on. Then many warned Him, be quiet. But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Verse 49 says, so then Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Man, I love the way Jesus sees the heart. Something we can't see of each other. But Jesus sees your heart. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus, and Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? I want you to know this today, friend. Jesus wants to do something for you. He wants you to tell him what it is. He already knows what you have need of. You need to begin to proclaim the gospel. You need to begin to make bold steps toward Jesus. You need to begin to make bold steps knowing that the King of Glory has got your answer. He's got your answer. I don't know what it is, but he's got your answer. Call out to him. The blind man said to him, Rabbi, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. What you going to believe in? What do you believe in? Don't just think, man, I've done that thing and I wish I had a closer walk with Jesus, just a closer walk with thee. If you want a closer walk with Jesus, start stepping. Follow him. If you want a closer walk with him, start stepping out. Then there's the woman in John chapter 4, the Samaritan woman, who had life was so upside down. 5 husbands. She's living with another man now. Here she comes, and she's a Samaritan woman. Jews and Samaritans hate each other. And they could not get along because of racial division. But Jesus went out of his way to go to Samaria, and he waits at Jacob's well for this lady, a divine appointment. Let me tell you something. Jesus is wanting to give a divine appointment to somebody in this room today, to somebody in this house today. He wants to meet you right where you are in your upside down place, and he wants to change your life radically for his kingdom, and he's going to fill your mouth with the gospel of Jesus, and you're going to leave here rejoicing and proclaiming and praising, because greater is he that's in us. And when he begins to do something radical on the inside of us, our life begins to be radical for his kingdom. Hallelujah. The woman says, Jesus, and go read the story. It's in John chapter 4, verses 7 through 39. I challenge you to go read it. The woman says, Jesus says, hey, draw me some water to drink. And she says, who are you, a Jew, asking me, a Samaritan woman, to give you water? Jesus said, I have water that you can drink and you'll never thirst again. Watch her attitude when you read that scripture. She said, give me this water, sir, that I may never thirst again. Some of you are thirsty. Some of you are thirsty. The scripture says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Let me tell you, some of you are thirsty. Some of you needing a move of God in your life. Some of you at your wit's end, you don't even know who to go talk to. You don't even know what to do with what's going on. But I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus has got a plan for you. Are you willing to seek him? Are you willing to search for him? Are you willing to cry out to him? Are you willing to, and with all the people in this world, he's got his mind on you today. on you. That's how personal we can take the death of Jesus on the cross. He did it just for me. And can't nobody take that away from me. He did it just for me. Then there's a woman that was caught in the act of adultery. The religious people. Boy, don't you love them. They're so hateful, they can't stand theirself. I'm going to say it again. The religious people are so hateful, they can't stand theirself. They'll stay hateful in the church till they run everybody off. Because they don't want to see nobody blessed because they can't be blessed. And you can't be blessed when you're rebellious. But the woman caught in the act of adultery, they bring the religious people, bring them to Jesus and go. And they're tempting Jesus. What's their negative attitude? In the old time of old, we're supposed to stone her, but what do you say to do? They said this, the scripture says, tempting him. And he said, let the first one of you without sin cast the first stone. And then they started walking away one by one. Because conviction. Look at this. I want you to get this picture. They walked away instead of allowing what Jesus had just spoke to them, because the same deliverance that was fixing to happen for the adulterous woman was there for them, but they didn't want it. And they walked away. And Jesus asked the woman, where's your accusers? And she looked around. She said, I have none, Lord. He said, neither do I condemn you. Go sin no more. When Jesus saves us, he wants it's the gospel that sets us free. It's the gospel that we trust in, that I have a revelation of, that God begins to do something. Let's look at all the miracles. There's no way we can go through every one of them and be done in time for y'all to go home for supper. So I'll be short on some of them. You remember when he fed the multitudes? He done it two times. He fed the 4,000. He fed the 5,000. He was a miracle worker. Do you remember in John chapter 15 about the vine, that he is the vine and we're the branches and we're to abide in him, and when we abide in him, he's going to prune us back. He wants us to bear fruit. He wants us to live a life that brings glory and honor to him. It's not about a religion. No one, and we talked about this last week, where the Indians right up, the cross is a stake in the ground, the cross. And when the Indians rode up on the horse and threw their stake in the ground, it meant no more. The fight starts right here. And when you put your cross, when you take your cross, it's that cross. No more will I go back to this garbage. No more will I go back to where I was before. No more am I going to follow a life of destruction. No one can put a stake in the ground and continue to go back where they were before. Traditions of religion will allow this and have no blessings from him. But you will live a miserable life when we keep going back to what I used to be. Well, I just can't get away from it. Well, I just can't change. No, you can't. But he can change you. That's what he came to do. That's what he came to do. He changes us. We don't change ourselves. If we could change ourselves, he wouldn't need to die on the cross. So we can't change ourselves. We trust in the one who brings the change. Change is repentance. It's a place that the stake is in the ground, and I'm not going back there no more. I don't want no more of that. You remember the other good news that came to the religious man, the religious leader, his name was Nicodemus. And it comes out, the story comes out of John chapter 3, and I challenge you to go read all of it. But here's what Jesus told Nicodemus in verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God didn't give us a ministry of condemnation to people we know, church. God did not give us a ministry of condemnation to people around us, family members, friends, people living in addiction. He gave us a ministry of reconciliation. And when you have been reconciled to God, you will have a ministry of reconciliation. be reconciled to God. Turn away from your wicked ways. Turn away from your addiction. Turn away from... Listen, man, we can't get a prayer through for a common cold because of the rebellion of the church today. Hello? We prayed. We want this to happen. We want that to happen. Quit rebelling. Surrender. Live to Jesus. Because he ain't coming to condemn. He came to seek and save that which was lost. Watch verse 18. It says, he who believes in him is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already. Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You see, that's the only thing we need is Jesus. It don't matter what church you go to, it matters will you trust Jesus. John 14:6, he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. There's the good news. It ain't about what's stamped over your door. It's about what's changed your heart. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by me. In verse 19, it says, in this condemnation, that the light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. Some people live this kind of life. Man, if I keep that hid, if my brothers don't know about it, if I can do this, and I'll just keep that on the down low, I'll keep my girlfriend across town, you're living a lie to yourself if you're saying you're a Christian and live like that. There's no freedom in your life. The only way we can be free is if the Son has made you free. You're free indeed. This is what he told Nicodemus. He's telling him, for everyone who practices evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. Watch John 8:34. Flip over just a few pages. John 8:34, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. So if you continue to do wrong and you know you're doing wrong, you're a slave of that thing. If you can't let go of the girlfriend or the boyfriend or the pornography or the drug or the whatever or the this or the alcohol or that, whatever it is that's got that control of you, is your God. Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. You can't be a slave of sin and a child of God. You cannot be a slave of sin and a child of God. Verse 35, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. I'm going to go on reading right here just for a minute, y'all. We're going to run down through verse 37. I know that you are Abraham's descendants. Here's what the religious people are trying to justify, that we're Abraham's. We're good. Here's the problem with the church. I prayed that prayer. I got dunked in the water. I filled out the card. I'm good. And there's no freedom in your life. Watch what he goes and says here. I know that you're Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. A lot of Christians today want to be Christians, but they don't want the Word, because the Word starts putting a requirement on you. And that requirement is righteousness. I'm going to say that again. We want everything but the righteousness. Don't want the righteousness. Nobody can be that. Nobody's perfect. I'm not perfect. Let me tell you something. When you invite Jesus into your life, the perfect one has been invited in. And he's still perfect. Stop trying to belittle my Jesus with your fleshly life. Stop it. You are living unfruitful because you're trying to do it yourself. But if you'll trust the one that was perfect, and the word perfect means mature, he'll develop his maturity in you. You'll learn to move away from stuff. You'll learn to know my stakes in the ground, man. I ain't going back. My friend said, oh, don't worry, Frankie. He's going through a spell. He'll be back. Go back to what? I had nothing to go back to. Verse 38. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father. And they answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Verse 39. And Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. Now, please listen to what Jesus is telling them. You do the deeds of your father. Now, the father is God, right? But watch who he's talking to these religious people. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one Father, God. Jesus said to them in verse 42, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it all. Let me tell you this. If you've got the enemy lying to you that it's okay to keep that girlfriend, that boyfriend, and you married or doing whatever, and pornography and your alcohol and all of the things that you want to hang on to, them are lies from the pits of hell. And you'll never know the freedom Jesus has for you until you surrender to him. I'm going to flip back up here to John 8 and 34. Come on, Wayne. Most assuredly, I say to you, who commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. No way to be free except through Jesus. If you've not received a revelation, I want to get personal with each and every one of you now. If you've not received a revelation from God in your life, today I want you to start praying. No better time than right now than to start praying for a revelation from God. God, give me a revelation of who you are. Give me a revelation. God, show me that you're for me, not against me. God, show me that these things that I got in my life that nobody knows about, but God knows about. Let me tell you right now, he knows about it. That's why you're so empty. Am I making sense to you? It's why we wind up empty. It's because we're doing things and unforgiveness and bitterness and hate, and we want the presence of God, and we lie to ourselves that I'm in God's will. But we lie to ourselves. But if you'll pray for a revelation and keep praying for that revelation till you receive a revelation, nobody can give this to you. Only your hunger for him will bring a revelation in your heart. Matthew 5:6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Where are you today? Y'all stand with me. Where are you today? He wants to bless in your life. He wants to birth a revelation in you. And I want to pray, and as Wayne and them begin to sing, if you need a revelation from God, you need the move of God in your life, start making your way this way and start taking bold steps toward his throne and watch what the power of God does in your life. Father, today I pray your strength over this house. I pray your will in people's lives. I pray for hearts, God, today. Be willing to surrender to your will, to your authority, for to your righteousness, God. I pray you strengthen every person in this room to say, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. I pray you birth that in the heart today, God, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We can do nothing on our own, God. We only need you. We can't do righteousness on our own. We need your presence in our life, God. And today I ask that you do great things in my brother's and in my sister's heart. I pray conviction over them today, God, that they would be delivered, that they would live the life of promise, the life of peace, the life of joy that you intend for them to live. And it's in the matchless name of Jesus I pray. Amen. If you need prayer, come on this way. Come on this way. Miss Cindy, come on. I'm going to ask some of the men. Mr. Raymond, come on, my brother. We're going to pray for Miss Cindy, Miss Mandy. Come on, young lady. We'll pray for y'all. Some of you ladies want to pray for these. Come on.